people during the week, this past week, asked me to speak about this because there was a talk that I gave. This past Sunday, there's a conference called Nefesh Conference. They hosted a group of people, social workers, psychologists. And I gave a talk there on the Inyan of Shidduchim, the subject of Shidduchim, which is very much nogeya to the one to get to last week's parsha, but nogeya to these parshias. And I saw that a few people asked me to say it over. So I'm going to try. It's a very, very beginning. And it's something which is on my mind a lot, and it's on a lot of people's minds. It's something that's happening in Klal Yisrael. And I called it, the title was, they wanted it to sound a little bit, you know, more, they wanted it to sound dramatic, so the titles are always, you know, have sheker in them. But on the Shidduch crisis, which there really is, Lamaisa there is. And I made it very clear from the beginning when they asked me to speak that they want like some practical tips on like dating. You got the wrong guy. It's not my mahalach. Not that I don't think it's important. It's just that that's not really what I'm not good at that stuff, teaching it or whatever. It's not my union. But I would talk about the shirish, which is something which I think about all the time, the root of the union. I'm just going to start. Maybe I'll talk more about it next week. We'll see. But I feel relaxed. It's a small chavis, it's a Shabbos. And I'm not officially taping this. You see there's some machines here, but the talk that I gave was taped. And it was more geared towards those professionals. And now it's more geared towards chaveim. Of course, everybody knows the Gemara and Saita. It's a Gemara that at the beginning of Sota that everybody's asking, everybody's wondering, every Shevet Brachos, they bring this up, but they prefer not to bring it up with the singles. The Gemara says that that 40 days before the formation of the fetus, before conception, there's a baskel, there's a divine proclamation making a shidduch. That's plain and plain. This girl is going to be with this boy, this boy is going to be with this girl. Shidduch is made. That's a big subject in the Rishon, the Achron. What does that mean? The shidduch is made 40 days before. But the Gemara by Kotten, which is much less known. The Gemara by Kotten that Yilchel says that b'chol yom v'yom, Bas Kol Yoyseis V'Ameres Bas Pleni L'Plon. Every single day, the Gemara says, in my cotton, every single day, a Bas Kol goes out, a proclamation goes out regarding the Shidduch. So the question obviously is that if there is already a Shidduch made, if the Shidduch is already made, Kaidim Yitzir Sevlad, before they were even born, if the shidduch was made from the beginning, so why is it necessary that there be bas kol yoytzeis v'chol yom v'yom every single day? Bas kol yoytzeis v'ameres. The Gemara says, "My kod yuchas bas kol yom v'yom." The shidduch. So I didn't see this in a sefer. I was thinking it's pashut. It's simple. I think it's obvious that even though there is a shidduch that was made a long time ago, but Nebuch, the two of them haven't found each other yet, and they need a lot of chizuk. They need a lot of chizuk because there are people who in their loneliness, and for other reasons that I'm going to talk about now, they don't find their zivug. They don't find each other. And as a result of waiting, there's an impatience, there's a pain, there's a loneliness, and therefore it's a tremendous responsibility on the part of friends, of family, of teachers, of rebbeim. And when I was talking to the chevra this past week, on the part of social workers and psychologists, what a responsibility, what a tremendous responsibility to give over the baskal, to be mechazik, to be mechazik those who are looking for a shidduch, those who are waiting for their zivik, to be mechazik them, to give them a little bit of a push, and not to be misyayish, to be able to hear the baskal, to be able to recognize, I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes, to recognize the zivik. There's a mice that I've called very often in the shul, but the Holy Vision, I called it a few weeks ago. I'm just reminding you here, you know, because we need it for this inyan. There's a mice from the Holy Vision had a palace, and people would come from all over the world to speak to him, to ask him aces. And he had very special children. One of his sons was of David Moshe, who later on became the Charkir of David Moshe. I saw recently an article that says that the Senator Schumer, that his grandfather, great-grandfather, they were big Charkir of Hasidim. And the name really is the word Shomer, because they were Shomer by the Chatzir, by the Malchus of Charkir. He's very proud of that. Maybe one day he'll be proud enough to put on film. But in the meantime, at least it's something. So what happened was that little David Moshe was like a Rebbe in training, R.I.T. So after Cheder, he would be in the chatzar in the court, and you know, people coming and going, hundreds of people, and little David Moshe would talk to Cheder. He was learning what it means to feel the pain of other Jews. That is a Rebbe in training. So you know, people are waiting there for a week, 2 weeks to see their vision, and so they would pour their hearts out with the little boy. So there was a Yid, Nebuchadnezzar, Saras. He didn't have any panos, he had a wife who was sick, he couldn't marry off his daughter, you know. The whole thing. So he's talking to little David Moshe, and David Moshe is giving him like a pep talk the whole week. When you get in them, it's your turn, you go into my father, you go into the Rebbe, you gotta tell him exactly what's hurting you. You gotta tell him about your wife, about your kid, about the panos, tell him everything. And then this Yankel is getting all excited. Finally, it's his turn. He's in, comes out 2 minutes later. And the little boy, David Moshe, says, what happened? Did you tell my father? You told her? I told him. You told him about your wife. What did the panasa tell him? And what did the Rebbe say? What did my father say? He said, the emissaries will help. May God help. May the one above help. And then what happened? So I don't know. Then the shamans just grabbed me and they, you know, and here I am. They pulled me out. So the Moshe said, that's not good enough. You gotta go back. What are you supposed to do? Tomorrow. What's gonna be? Like now. So the uncle waited like another week. You don't get to go for doubles like that. So he had to wait again the whole mahalach. Finally he was in. And this time the little boy that says, this time, everything. Don't leave until you have it. Okay. This time 30 seconds he's out. The Moshe says, Yankel, what happened to you? Did you tell me? Yeah, he said everything, yes. And what happened? What did my father say? What did Rebbe say? Your father said the Abishah's love. And did you ask him what are you supposed to do until the Abishah helps? Until the Hashem helps? So he said, I asked him, what am I going to do until the Abishah helps? So he gave me a brach, he said, the Abishah should help you until the day that he helps you. It's a very deep thing. Oh, what an unbelievable kayach. That's Hashem's baruch, has given each and every one of us the responsibility to help Jews until Hashem helps them. Because Hashem is helping us help them. So Hashem is helping them. But family and friends, when it comes to this inyan, this avoda, this unbelievable avoda to help other Jews who are lonely get a shidduch, have a shidduch to be mezavik zivugin. In order to understand the problem, without going into the specific details, which all of you are familiar with, I want to go back to the beginning. Again, I'm really talking about this because I know it's on a lot of people's minds. And I've spoken about this before, and you've heard about this. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Omar says in the Medrash Rabbah, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Omar, du partzufin bor. Hashem is Baruch created Adam and Chava as one being that was attached back to back. Nosroi v'al sol gav mikan v'gav mikan on the day of Rosh Hashanah, which is known in the Svar, in the Kisvari, as the Yom HaNesiva, the day of the sawing in half. On that day, Hashem cut this being that had Adam and Chava, this amazing creature that had both Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve attached, back to back. Hashem cut them in half. Shnemar, it says in Pasuk, Achor v'kedem Satan, you formed me front and back. All the Mekubalim accept that this was the Metzius. How it fits into Chumash, that's not for now. It's discussed at length in all the Svarim. That this is the original Metzius of Adam and Chava. That they existed in this way of what's called Achor v'Achor, back attached to back. And on Rosh Hashanah, on that day of their creation, was the Nesira, was the sawing in half. That means that there was a time at the beginning when everything was absolutely 100% clear, when everything was one. And it's because of this sawing in half, this Nesira, that man and woman, Adam and Chava became each one a separate Metzius, a separate being, that would require an unbelievable, painful process of coming back together. And that's what I say, for those of you who are married and don't know about this, maybe some of you are part of some sort of a bracha that you got, even after you're married, requires a tremendous, tremendous amount of ishtadlus, of hard work, of tefillah, of davening, of crying, of misunderstandings, and patching things up and back and forth, to bring together that metzius that was once originally together, and it was cut in half and made into two separate metzius, two separate pieces of this world. The truth is that, and I spoke about this a little bit at a parlor meeting this week, the truth is that Hashem Baruch has made, that because of this Nesira, because of this sawing in half, Hashem Baruch has placed us in a world that is filled with Nesiras, breaking, things broken in half. The Neshama was cut away from Hashem. It once was that the Neshama was attached to Hashem Baruch, and then the Neshama was separated from God and put into this world. The Jewish people were attached to Hashem and separated. There are breakages between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, between friends. All of these karoim, all of these tears, all of these splits, all of these cuts are the result of the original Nesir that took place Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaNesir. Every separation is the result of the Nesira. This Bas Kleini Leplein, the Inyan of Shidduch, that Hashem is brought to Tezna Medrash and Bamidbar. When the question was asked, somebody was able to see what's going on in the higher world and reported what he saw, and he was asked, what is Hashem doing since gracious? Like, what's he so busy, Hashem? What's going on? We imagine Hashem sitting like some big control room with screens, you know. What's Hashem's book busy with? So the Medrash says that since creation, he's busy with one thing. He's mezaveh zivugim. He's making shidduchim. Since creation, he's mezaveh zivugim. That doesn't only mean bas poim v'kani, a husband, wife, chasam kav. Mezaveh zivugim on all levels. A Jew with himself, with his own soul. Parents, children, brothers, sisters, friends. Yeshiva with the students. Everything. Client's soul, there it is. So the Baruch Hashem is basically this inyan of repairing, of sewing back together that which was torn in half after the Nesir. And that's why I've mentioned many times what it says in the Chabad Svar, and I've said exclusively again, it really is already from the Zayda, from the Tanya. But we see that the Tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik, who is the father of all Tzaddikim, the Tzaddik, is Yosef HaTzaddik. He was the poster of Kol Chalamos, right? He was the one that was able to interpret all dreams. So Tzemach Tzedek said from the grandfather that Poiser is the Asiyas Tofer. What does it mean in Hebrew, Tofer? It means to mend, to sew. the inyan of a tzaddik in this world is to sew together brothers and sisters, friends, Jews with Hashem, husbands and wives. That's the inyan of tzaddik yisoid olam is a tailor. The tzaddik is a tailor, the tzaddikus is a seamstress that brings back together those who were once together, and for whatever reason, over the course of time, those neshamas became separated. And this is the avoida of ma Hashem mezavik zivugim. There's a whole malach of Hashem in this world, is to be mezavik zivugim, to make zivugim. So a Jew has to live such a life to be mezavik zivugim. When there's a machloikis, to try to make shalom between friends. When you had a problem with somebody, to try to make up with someone. All of this is mezavik zivugim. So why did Hashem do this? After all, there was certainly a great amount of convenience in that original arrangement of Adam and Chava being attached back to back. I mean, you could think of a million reasons why it would be annoying, but imagine no wife would ever have to worry why her husband's coming home so late, and no husband would have to worry about what's with his credit card, you know, what's happening out there in the great shopping malls of America. Nobody would have to worry. Everywhere you go, the husband and wife are together back to back. You can hear a couple of interesting arguments and things going on, but this is happening now anyway. Why did Baruch Shalom make such a thing? Such an amazing situation that the Baruch Shalom, why did Hashem's Baruch do this? So we're taught in the Zohar Kodesh and Kisvei Ari and the Svar Makadosh that there are two types of relationship in the world. There are two types of relationships. Listen carefully. This is not new to people who have been in the shul for a long time. There are two types of relationships. One type is called achor ba'achor, back to back, and the other is called panim be'panim, face to face. Now, the prototype of the relationship of back to back, besides Adam and Chava, how they were created, is interestingly how the Jewish people related to Hashem when we left Mitzrayim and we were in the desert. The Ari HaKadosh said that relationship that we had with Hashem was back to back. How do we know that? Zacharti lo chesed nurayach ahavus kol osayach lech teich acharai v'amidbar. You follow behind me in the desert. The Ari HaKadosh says, we see from here that in the desert our relationship with Hashem was not face to face, it was back to back. Which is odd, no? If anybody would stop you on the street and ask you, what do you think? What kind of relationship do we have with Hashem in the midbar? You'd say, what do you mean? You see the Torah, it was unbelievable. How can you get more face-to-face than that? So this is what Ari HaKadosh taught. Why is that called in the desert Achor B'Achor? And when did it become only face-to-face? In Eretz Yisrael, why is that? So Ari HaKadosh taught, and it's Yisoid. It's the most basic thing in all of life. As Ari said, that in the desert, there was no free choice. Everything was arranged. The Jewish people and Hashem were sewn together, and Hashem's Baruch made it in such a way. When the mountain is held over your heads, and someone says, do you want the Torah? And you say, yes. There's very little free choice. I mean, Tosfos asked that, of course, and it's discussed at length in all the Svar. That's not a matter of choice. There's no crying, there's no doubting, there's no hard work, there's no sleepless nights. There's no ishtalus, there's no amenus, there's no yigir, there's no hard work. All it is it's a ready-made thing. And because of that, the Arizal said, although he didn't use these words, obviously, there's no romance in the relationship like that. There's no romance. It's just taken for granted. This is just how it is. In the desert, the Ari HaKadosh said, when we were in the midbar, and Hashem Yisbarach opened up the heavens, and we saw, and the man, we were being fed by Hashem, and the clouds, and everything was arranged. That's called back-to-back. And it's called back-to-back because in that matzav, in that relationship, in that situation, there is no passion, there's no warmth, because any relationship where there is no mystery, where there is no mishtablis, where there is no avayda, where there is no meeting that takes place, so it's not really panim upon him. It's not face to face. And the truth is that Adam and Chava, when they were sewn together back to back, they never met. I mean, you could make that, you know, a mirror, and they want to see what's doing, how do you look? But they never faced each other. They never faced each other. People who can't face each other don't love each other. People who can't face each other, there are relationships in this world. You have people who are married for 50 years, but they don't look at each other. Every rabbi knows it, every therapist knows that. That sometimes you have to work with somebody for for 10 years just to get them to look at each other, to communicate and to see each other, to look at each other. There are many relationships that even though people live together, and they're good to each other, I'm not saying that these are horrible or abusive relationships, they could be friends. But the relationships are one, those relationships are lacking very, very much that fire, that passion, that she'ifa that comes with people who are struggling to find each other and to understand each other and to see eye to eye and to come together and to have a relationship. A relationship that they had to work for. Not a relationship that was just plopped upon them, that was given to them and is taken for granted. So when we were in the Midbar, when we were in the desert, the relationship with the Ariyakov says it was back to back because everything was like taken care of. And when everything is taken care of, it's missing that dimension of avoid, of hard work. With a hard work, other rites of Kav Shalom, you work hard for something and it's precious to you. When you see a couple, there are couples that they work on their relationship, they work hard to improve a husband and wife and the relationship, and there's something special over time that develops between them. Whereas, when you have, very often you have couples that they describe their initial meeting as love at first sight. It's a very dangerous thing, love at first sight. We have Yaakov Avinu and Rachel Imenu, there's such an Indian in the world, but that might be the last one that's real. And even then, you know that when Yaakov Avinu kissed Rachel Imenu, it says that he started to cry. So the Rebbe Bunim said, he was crying because he knew that. He knew that he's going to be in big trouble from that kiss, and no one's going to understand it. That's why he was crying. He said, boy, are they going to misunderstand what happened in this pasuk? And that's why he was crying. And the truth is, we don't understand it. There are people who they had a relationship that was love at first sight, and it seemed that they're perfectly suited for each other, and they end up being terribly, terribly abusive. And one or the other, or both, are counting the days for they be able to be apart from each other, or they're not faithful to each other. And you would ask them; they said that when they first met each other, you know, all the music in the room stopped, like in a cartoon or something, and they just like floated across the room, and it was just an unbelievable passion, unbelievable love. And then you know, the whole thing was achor ba'achor; it was not panim upon. Panim upon can only come with this davening, with this crying, with this waiting, with his difficulties, with his concealment, with his sneers. It doesn't come in such a way. What we see now in America, there's terrible suffering from the, what people think is punim upon them. They talk like it's punim upon them. They say the right words, they sing the right songs, they wear the right, t-shirts. I love Nick, and Barbara loves me or something, Everybody's wearing the right, talking the right talk and singing the songs. There's never been so much hatred and sadness. Difficulties in relationships is now. So the Baruch Shalom made such a thing. He cut all the Makasha in half. So the question is, if the Baruch Shalom wanted in such a way that the Chas and the Kalish could find each other in the darkness and work and go through that time of difficulties and davening and so on. So that's what the Baruch Shalom wanted. So then why didn't he just create Adam Chava? He should create them as separate beings. Why the initial oneness and then the separation? Only to have to work at finding each other again. Why is that? So there's a teaching in the Siddur of Rav Kook, in the Sherer Brachos. Unbelievable. What a Torah he has over there in his Siddur. In the Sherer Brachos, and I have to be makaster, I realize I should have just spent 5 minutes until now, it's already much too long. That in the Siddur of Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levrache explains the fact that we have Yotzer Adam, Asher Yotzer Adam, and then we end again with Yotzer Adam. Right? First, the Brachah of Bruchat Hashem, Yotzer Adam. God creates man. And then afterwards, Asher Yotzer Adam, the Talmud, the past tense. He created, he formed. We're just talking about this being that we're talking about. And then it ends once again in the present continuous Bruchat Hashem Yotzer Ha'olam. So Kook asks, what is this Ash? What is this Yotzer Yotzer Yotzer? So he says a profound thing. He says that this is the mystery of the Chibur Yisod HaTeva the Yisod HaBechir, of the binding together, the joining together, of what? Of Yisod HaTeva, of nature and free choice. What does that mean? It means that Hashem created the beginning of Chasen and Kala. Hashem created, that's why we say, Asher Baro, Sosn v'Simcha, Chasen v'Kala. There's a Bria in the world that's called a Chasen and Kala. And that's the original Yoytzer HaAlam Hashem. There is a creation Hashem creates, and every single moment in the life of this girl, her Chasen exists. And the life of this Chasen, his Kala exists. There's a Yoytzer HaAlam. And Hashem created Adam and Chava in such a way, Yoytzer HaAlam. That's before the Nasir, before the cutting in half, Rav Kook says. And then there's the sewing in half, and each one feels totally abandoned and doesn't know that his Kala lives around the corner. They could have passed each other 1,000 times. They could have been in the same aisle in the store, in the library. How many stories I know like this? I just heard one last week, somebody that they grew up, mamish around the corner, out of town. It's one thing to say in New York, people are unfriendly, they don't talk to each other. Out of town. They live like around the corner. There are only a few Yidden in the whole place. And then they got back together. I met them in the airport. I can't believe I was talking to them because I hadn't seen them in a long time. And I said, what are you doing? He says, well, my car. I said, what? Yeah, great. What's so around the corner, man. But during that time of not knowing, Rav Kook says, there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of pain. And there's a feeling of being lost. Asher Yotzar is in the past tense. What does that mean? Asher Yotzar means that the reason that God made Adam and Chava and each Chasen and Kala originally together, those neshamas and Shemayim are one. Even now, Chasen and Kala are originally one, just like Adam and Chava were one, was so that after they would be cut in half, there would be some memory of Asher Yotzar in the past tense. There'd be some residue, some recollection, some little bit of an adhesive that's still left. And like when you say, if something is glued together, you take it apart, and you have a little bit of glue still left, a little bit of tape. So the Asher Yotzer, Rav Kook says, means that when the Chasen and Kala, after they've been cut in half, Hashem doesn't leave them, God forbid, alone, with nothing to work with. God forbid. There is a memory, a recollection, a feeling of the Asher Yotzer. So the Maral says that when they come together, really, when that Zivug meets again in this world, when they meet together, it's at the right time, not like, you know, some 15-year-old guy calling up a little girl. Then I always tell them, really, it's not going to work. You could try to buy all the flowers and talk your parents to their blue. You're not going under the chuppah with this girl. Leave her alone and call her up when you're 20, 21, 22, whatever it is, when you get your first job or something. But just leave her alone right now. This is only going to be bad. But it's my zivug, and she's telling me this is my the second we met, you know, like in the, remember the cartoon, the hearts like start like a, the second we met, the valve, we know we're for each other. He's 15, she's 13, and we're for each other. You know, listen, you're watching too many television shows, and you're reading the little girls. You're reading too many 17 magazines. Why don't you just go to yeshiva and you go do what you have to do? And we'll talk in a couple of years, right? So. But the Baruch Shalom, the Maral says, what's that? Outside. The Maral says that Hashem is Baruch made it in such a way that Be'emes, when it's the right time, in the right way, that there is a Hesperus Pnimis Nishmosis, which means there is, like Rav Kook says, a feeling of I know you from somewhere. There's a comfort, there's an awareness, and Asher Yotzar, as Ha'odim B'Tzalmo, that the Baruch Shalom made such a bria that it happened, that it was. This is not the first time. And why did Hashem do that? Rav Kook explains, is that we should be able to get back together and build a permanent structure of a home. That we should get back together. And then we get under the chuppah, they look at each other, and then they are able to hear the bracha coming from the whoever makes the bracha. Nikra the Mechasa should make a bracha, right? Where we have other people, Mechabit. And what's the bracha? Bracha to Hashem, Yoytzer HaAdam. You feel once again, really God never left you. You just thought that it was in the past tense. The same Yoytzer HaAdam who's watching you every second, who made you with your Kala, the Chasen and Kala, who created such a Metzius, you felt during these past couple of years, it was something of the past, But then when you stand under the chuppah, and really it's not just under the chuppah, it takes years and years and years. But you can turn around and say, Be'emes, Amen, Yeser Adam. Like under the chuppah, when you hear the bracha, so the Fasan Kala, they make a little bit of an Amen and say, Amen. It's like, we hope. Amen. Only like, you know, when they're old, and they're walking someplace on a boardwalk, and they're holding hands, right? And the children are married, and they feel that there's nobody else that exists in the world, only the two of them, can they turn around and say, Amen! The life shalom. But it's a lifetime of yigiyah, of hard work. But Cook explains, but don't think that Hashem is Baruch left us. Chas v'shalom. Don't think that Hashem left us like it's hefker. That's why he originally created Adam and Chava glued together. And then he says, come here, can look, that's Rosh Hashanah, that's why every Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, ben dom l'dom, ben din l'din, it's a day of separation and getting together. So Hashem cut Adam and Chava in half. And then each one still has that funny kind of a memory, some sort of there's a residue, an adhesive, a recollection of something. What the Maharal calls his tnimis, a longing, a desire to find the other one, and to daven and to pour out the Torah, to find the zivik. And then through their hard work, through their bechira, and they're making the right choice. The wrong choices are in there, Hashem Yirachem. But by making the choice, then they're able to come back together. Now the question, of course, is that's very, very nice, and Chazal have taught us this, and Ariya Kaddish, so there's nothing to argue with. You can't argue with this. This is the Metzias that we're in. So the Maisa, what can we do? So I shocked this group of psychologists and social workers. It could be that they're still a little bit confused. And I told them last week when I gave this talk, I told them that I want to say something very simple. I want to say something very simple. Everybody's sitting like with their notes and their things and their tape recorders. What's going to be the suggestion of, you know, the Torah's approach to getting these couples together? We're having a major problem. There was at that talk that I gave, there was a woman, a very close to the psychologist, and it was like a panel, and she was saying how recently she was dealing with a shidduch that was broken up because it was discovered just in the nick of time that this family served the chayim Friday night in the bottle on the table instead of putting it into a nice little silver thing with a little silver dainty spoon. They actually took out the bottle, and could you imagine horror of horrors? That the bottle was put on the table, and thank God they caught this in the nick of time before the invitations were about to go out. So they were able to prevent this from being such a mistake. Hashem Yirachem. And there are other things that people are telling me that we hear, and that my wife and I have also to some degree been exposed to, except I'm very strong in my mahalach with these things, and my wife will tell you that I don't allow my children to be the sacrifices of some mishagoyim. So for instance, I have something, anybody that's been in this parasha knows, I'm just telling you, people think, somebody suggested there was a whole shtablis for my daughter, and I really wasn't know about them, making a shtablis for their son, except, and they would agree, perhaps, to let their tzaddik go out with my daughter. Maybe, you know, because there's a long list, but everybody has a long list. So there, maybe there would be masochism. I don't even know who these people are. But the word got to me from somebody else that they're considering maybe they would allow their son to go, only on the condition that the boy's mother can meet my daughter at a chasna in Brooklyn. Not here, in Brooklyn. So I said, what does that mean? You want to talk? No, no, no. It has to be pointed out. She wants to see what my daughter looks like. I told this person who called with the shidduch, I said, tell her she can come the night of the Bedikas Chamas with a candle to my house. She wants to see my daughter. That's what I said. I don't know this lady is. I said, tell her she can come with a candle for the Bedikas Chamas. My daughter comes around with us also. She wants to see what she looks like. And I said, Seth, wish them a lot of luck with it, Sabbath. You should get a good shidduch. Probably the same one with the chayim. Could be, I hope. At least it's all in one, you know, lined up. You know, these things involved. So everybody's waiting, so what are we going to do about this stuff? A lot of the tsars come because of crazy parents. A lot of the tsars. People know that. And the children of a good children, the parents of Shagun. The boy's probably a nice boy. The boy's probably nice, but I had my oldest one here. Thank God she's happily married as a Yerushalayim. My daughter, she went out on a date. I'm telling you, Maisa Shahaya. I mean, I have a million stories, but just like one or two that I can't hold back. So there was this one story, it's a Maisa Shahaya, that my daughter was going to be picked up. The boy came, this is like the best in Yeshiva, the best in the world, Masmada, Goyin, and Sadi Kalama. It could be. And maybe he was a nice boy. I'm sure he's a nice boy. But listen what happened. So my daughter comes home, she says, oh, no, no. I said, you really know she was safe, nice boy. So it's not for me. What happened? So she said that when they went out of the house, when they left the house, he came to the spoke a little bit, left the house. So she saw there was somebody like in a car, like a guy with like a cap on or the car reading a newspaper. And she saw the man for a second. Then this boy took it to the hotel over there in Garden City, and a lot of the girls and boys go to this hotel. Went to the hotel, and my mirror says she sees the same old guy sitting on a couch in the lobby with a newspaper. She says, this is like, am I in some movie or something? What is this, scary? So she happened. She got very scared by that, and she called up her friend, and the friend said, yo, you went out with this, it's not, you know. Yeah, they, tell me something, was there a guy in the lobby, some years said, yeah. So that's his father. The father goes along with every single thing to go to watch and to see with the newspaper, like, you know, to make two holes in the paper, it's crazy. And the sugar. And this boy, he could be as the nicest boy in the world, but you see, you know, if this is, stay away. Something wrong. This is not, I'm not basic in these things, I just stay away, I try as much as possible to avoid them, but you can't help a little bit, you get caught up in these things. But the MS, I said to the Chevre at this Nefesh conference, I want to talk about something very old fashioned. Just very simple. I want to talk about two Mahalchim, which is really one. That's one. And that's what's going to come. We'll see the parasha. We'll see with this with the parasha is in 5 minutes. There was a chasana that I was at a few years ago. And, you know, on the tables now, they give out all these different things. You go to, they have all these favors, these different things. So, the benches that go into shameless, right? All the, mostly these things are a total waste of money. It's also part of the train and, you know, hotels and all the nourishment. But listen to this. This was what was on the table. This was given out to each of the guests. And this is a husband and wife, a Hassan Kalib, I love very much. I'm very close to. This is what it said. These were Bala Shuba. Bala Shuba married Bala Shuba. Dear friend, please know how glad we are that you joined us at this miraculous simcha, joyous occasion. The blessings that are flowing from heaven towards us are infinite and profoundly humbling, and we are happy to share them with you. And our gratitude, so she mentions her husband's name, and I, let's just say Yaakov and I, know that this simcha, like all simchas, belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, the single community of all Jews. Listen carefully. It is a lesson to never give in to despair, to know that Hashem knows exactly what He is doing at every moment, and has only good waiting for each of us, separately and together, no matter how confusing or painful our challenges. And this shidduch, marriage, has taught us never to underestimate the power of prayer. We are sure that Yeshua's salvations are happening for the Jewish people every day that we cannot know about, even amidst so many tragedies. May we continue to look for them, pray for them, cry for them, and make them public when they become visible to us. May Hashem bless you and your family with only good news and simchas, signed by the Chasam Kalb. Isn't that the most beautiful thing to find on a table? And it's a lot cheaper than the fancy benches and the party favors. So what's the Eitzah? Listen, 5 minutes, but in a real way. Because I could talk about this for 5 centuries. When finally it happens that the Chasam Kala and the Shidduch is made, and the invitations go out, and it says the name of the hall, the caterer, who says the date. Even if it was originally going to be 7:30, Kabbalah's Panim, and Chuppah, 8:30, and they said, no, last second, 6:30 people. Hi, 6:30. No, six, all these things, but finally gets onto the invitation. And the hall, the musicians, everything is taken care of. It says in the Svar Makadosh that every single thing was written in Shemayim, exact. The invitation, the nusach of the invitation. That's why you have to be very careful that the nusach should be the old nusach, not to make up these new, they make these new nusachs, they made the bechiras libo, all those dangerous nusachs that they're playing around with, these with the formulas. People know better than the zaydis and bodies. The invitation was written up in Shemayim, the exact date, the hall. It says in the Svarim, even the food that was going to be, that's going to be served at the chasana. Who are the musicians? What nigunim they're going to play? Exactly everything was written in Shemayim long before the Chasna Kala, long before the Chasna Kala ever met. Everything was completely written in Shemayim. Certainly, who's the Chasna, who's the Kala? Exactly who's going to be invited to the wedding? You know, sometimes it happens that you were overlooked. It happens, it's a gzeira chat to everybody, at least one time in their lives. Did you overlook? You didn't get an invitation. It's a nisayon for a person. It says in the Svar, that it was determined exactly because of which neshamas had a connection to the other neshamas. In the root of their souls from the beginning of time, it was already determined exactly who has to be at that wedding. Who's not going to be able to be at the wedding? Who's not going to be invited? There are some that were invited, but for whatever reason they can't make it, and they wanted to come, not talking about some of the stuff. They wanted to come, and they couldn't, they had to be someplace else. Everything is exactly in Shemayim, according to the Sharish of the Neshamas, Rosen de Rosen Sisre Tayr, secrets within secrets, the mystery of the Gulun of the Neshamas before they came, and how many times they came into this world, every single thing is mamish there. Therefore, the tzaddikim said, Rabbi Nachman Skusa, Rabbi Nosson, the tzaddikim, HaKadoshim, the Talmidei Moshe, over and over, and it's found in the writings, also the teachings of the Talmidei HaGra, that there's absolutely, it's absolutely clear to us, that the Rebbeinu Shlom has taken care and is concerned with and is involved in every single prat, every detail, whether it's going to be a Viennese table or not, whether you're going to have 10 hot things or 8, every single thing is already meduyuk according to the, meaning specifically spelled out according to the, your own inyan of this rule that you have to be masakin and your nisyanis and the different things. The Baruch Shalom worried about every single detail. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman said, you want to know where the main sidrach and kai comes? The loneliness, the terrible, terrible fear of remaining alone forever in the sadness. Rabbi Nachman said it comes from relying upon and depending upon Shadchanim. What does that mean? It can't be that Rabbi Nachman didn't believe in Shadchanim. There's a section in Shulchan Aruch that deals with Shadchanim. There's a real thing. We already have from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, though it says, Shadchan is the Rosh Tevis, Sheker Doiver, Kesef Noita. He says lies and takes money. Not all shulchan. There are some wonderful, wonderful shulchan, and many shidduchim are made by shulchan. But what Rabbi Nachman taught is that those who think that their entire future depends upon some shadchan, they get nervous that maybe I should talk to send my suri like some animal to go be viewed by some crazy lady in Borough Park at a chasana. That I should go send her like this, because why? If I would stop and get nervous, and Baruch Hashem, I'm not like that at all. Sometimes my wife says to me, maybe you ask that, there's no way. And all of this starts to taste something else. Listen, that the boys and the girls, they get mamish crazy. Their parents get the sugar from the time that the girl is old enough to go out. And the boy starts dating. They make themselves the sugar by how they look, how's this, how's that, what's going to be. As somebody comes to shul and never saw him before wearing a hat, they say, oh, you look so nice, you look so shabbos. He says, I wish I didn't have to wear it. So why are you wearing this? Why am I wearing it? It's Rabbi, you know, it's Shabbos and my daughter's not. I don't want to mess her up, so I don't have to wear a hat. I wish I could. I don't want to wear it. All the, I'm not saying, you know, you want to wear a hat because of the hay, but all the diapers,
all of the worries and the fears, this total, total blank, this blanking out, this loss of emuna pshuta, that everything is written and inscribed in Shemayim, and the Shachan, the Briskerov said, that you should know, the Briskerov said, that Be'emes, for a Shidduch, you don't have to really, it's not necessary to make any Yishtabos at all, to make any effort at all, to make the Shidduch, they'll find each other, you don't have to make any Yishtabos, somehow it'll happen. The only reason the Briskerov said that you make Yishtabos is that you should, that the parents shouldn't get crazy. They should feel like they're doing something. So yeah, Briskerov said the whole thing is a gelechter. It wasn't a gelechter, a joke. It's a joke. The whole thing is, the whole Yishtabos is just a common thing. Not because it's part of anything. So I was putting on my Meir. So when I was for the Meir and I had to pull a bishop, so everybody was thinking, oh, you know, you're rabbi, and a lot of people see him as bizyonis. I'm not joking, it was bizyonis. You call the shatzim, you leave 10 messages, and they don't call you back, and then they tell you, well, you have to go try to get him if the minute of Marit, and I have to go right outside of shul someplace to meet the shatzim. And then he looks at you and he says, no, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks, I'm busy. You know, all the bizyonis. And in the end, after all of his yoinus, because I was new at the whole thing, I mean, with all of his yoinus, you know what? How it came, Baruch Hashem, Mi'irim Binyam. My nephew Dovi said, you know, I had a roommate in the New Yishlaim, Binyam. I think he's good for Mi'irim. Dovi said, okay. So, you know, when you room with somebody, you know who he is, right? And your roommate. No Rosh Hashiva is a roommate with one of the bar. But a roommate works. Dovi says, what my nephew said, and he says very little. He said, I think it's a good shidduch. He says, okay. So he did, that was it. And his mother, my sister made this call, that call, and they went down, and that was it. So all the hishtabas, the tzaddikim say, Briskerov of Reb Nachman, it's not just, don't say it's chassidim, it's not across the board. All the tzaddikim say, that the hishtalos, the fear, the terror, the crying, the worrying, what's going to happen, is hamvel, chavolim, is nishgunish there. It's worth zero. So what is worth something? You have to make hishtalos. Of course, that doesn't mean you shouldn't call for shachar. No one's suggesting, even the Biskarov, that you don't make a call, you don't say to a friend, keep your eyes open for my son, for my daughter. Of course, you make hishtalos. But you don't go mishum, you don't eat your heart out. Because the very shom is mezav in zehugim, and therefore what's the main shtadlis, and that's why I said to this group of therapists, I know you're going to be disappointed in me, davening. Davening. And the schoolers that we receive, the emesdikah schoolers, not the new ones, they come up with different schoolers every day, the real schoolers that we have, Mashiach Shirin, Shem Zayin, so I'm not going to go into right now, there are emesdikah schoolers from tzaddikim, amitim, from real tzaddikim. Let me share with you a few words from a tefillah from a tzaddik. A tefillah in this evening. The boy is saying this tefillah. A single boy who can't find a zivug. I will go out to any zivug and say, I'm not worthy. I haven't found my match, my mate. But I'm heard of keshika nod and nod the arts. And I'm wandering around like a drunk person, nod and nod. I'm so bitter. I'm so broken. I'm afraid that maybe Ali Deribri have a nice that because of my many sins, Ibarati as Bazugi that I've lost my Then Yochalunsa, so I haven't found him. I'm broken like a clay pot. From the Duke of Yusuri Atsin, I brought it upon myself. Shari Dika Oni, it's Oma Pnimi. I'm in a constant state of sadness. La'an Efna, what should I do? La'ashav la'ezer for help. What should I do? Mi yovnis l'vavi hanizv. Who can understand my broken heart? Mi yovnis merigus nafshi shani plaguf. Who can feel my pain that I feel like I'm a half human being that I haven't found my other half? Chosiv erek and kol tuv. Lo yitar, lo yisimcha, lo yitar, lo bayis, lo yitam, lo yishleimus. All the things that come when there's a good marriage, when there's a real marriage. And then he cries out to Hashem that he doesn't give up hope. Alum Kozos, he says, Bosulu Fanaf, Avain Kol, despite all of my sins, I come before you, Master of all life. Chaim El Galim, who has compassion upon the poor. Taivu Meitiv La Roiv La Taivu, that you're good, even to those who are not so good. Shetachus Hussachmol, Allah al-Ummah al-Kamani, that you should have rahmanis on a pitiful being like me. Shalwa kicheras and a broken, meshukitz and messiah kamani, a disgusting, unworthy person like me. Usirachim kvarlai, have rahmanis on me. Sha'eske luthes bazugim and ashamayim, ha'habunali, the one who was befitting me, who I befit. Then it goes on, Mali Rachim, you are filled with compassion, rachem alai. Have rahmanis. Ray Vishivani, can't you see my bro? Look at my broken heart. Eichani Margish Blazivugi, how lonely I am without my cow. Fa'atalovadi day, ain oid sari circumarish Mumisha Ainlo Bazu Benzu. And you know that there's nothing as terrible as a person who's lonely without a shidduch, and goes on crying and begging Hashem's bar for Zidik for shidduch. All of this doesn't mean that the individual doesn't make the shtadlus, like I said before. But after all of the shtadlus that a person makes, Yoshev the Shemaim, he's Chakab Anshom, sits in Shemaim, and he laughs. The one who is Mazavik Zivugim, who's bringing back the couple together, you end up seeing that 99% of the time it had really, really nothing to do with all these different inyanim and fears, and all the pachet that each one had, that the parents had. The Svar Maklashim say that the ikur is tefillah, to pour your heart out in tefillah, and to believe that Hashem's Baruch has everything on the invitation, everything is there. And if you see that, God forbid, time is going by, and you haven't met yet your zivig, and the zivig hasn't been made. So, first of all, every single time that you daven, it doesn't mean that the davening was for nothing. It's going to help you and your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, with zivugim, shiduchim, ad seif kol adoros. Every single tefillah means something. But Lamaisa, what does happen to many couples? That even though they're trying and they're davening. I told you once before, a Maisa from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon really never left his Beis Medrash, his home. And he wasn't Isaac in public things at all. He wasn't a Rav Vilna. But there was one mitzvah that the Gaon used to get involved in, and that was making shidduchim between orphans. He was mezavik zivugim when it came to making chasnas between Yisayim and Yisayimus, he made chasnas. And those were the only times when he would go out of his house. He says to bake matzahs, and he would go to these weddings, to be mezavik kedushim, to officiate at these weddings, that he made these matches. So there was a maaser that took place in front of all the Jews of Vilna, because when the Vilna Gaon makes a shidduch, the whole city would come. So there was a maaser. There was a maaser that in Vilna, there was a yosin who was unable to see. He was blind from birth. Right? Remember the maaser? He was blind from birth. Very fine, wonderful, but wasn't able to see. The Vilna Gaon made a shidduch between this young man and a girl from town, who also was Bia Simon, made the shidduch. The girl was a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful girl. And many people in town were extremely upset that the Vilna Gaon made the shidduch. They didn't think it was right. That just because she's Bia Simon, she's a beautiful girl, no. So the people were saying things, okay, but the Vilna Gaon, the girl, unbelievably, the girl said that whatever you said, she was macabre, that she's going to marry him. And the Vilna Gaon said that you're going to have a lot of bracha. The whole city comes to the chasna. The Vilna Gaon standing with the wine under the chuppah. He's about to say the brachas. The Vilna Gaon says to the chasna, and people are crying. The Vilna Gaon says to the chasna, no, it says in the Gemara Kedushin, also the kaddish is a isha at shiyavena. You're not supposed to get married until you first see your wife before the marriage. So people couldn't believe you were saying that. And the Vilna Gaon said again, I told you, also the kaddish is a isha, now he grabbed him, and he turned his face, the boy's face, to the bride, and the Gaon told him to open your eyes. And he was crying, he opened his eyes, and the first thing he ever saw in his life was he saw his kaddish's face. In front of the whole room, this happened. And the Gaon said, the schus that you trusted and you believed in Hashem, you're going to see each other punim v'punim for 120 and have luchtige, heilige children. You're going to bring holy children into the world. And the schus of your emunah and the schus of your tefillah. And I was thinking about this, I always think about this story. you know, even by the nations in the world, when people are dating, they say that they're seeing each other. Isn't it interesting? Now, the Vilna Gaon is a shadchan. If the Vilna Gaon make a shidduch for any male children, we'd be okay, yeah? The Vilna Gaon is a shadchan. And he helped this couple for the first time in the world. He helped them see each other panim to panim. But what I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking what the Gevurah was saying, that I was thinking how really a major problem is when the chasan and kala might be living around the corner, might pass each other, might be the same event, might have even gone out, but they don't see each other. They're not seeing each other. They're able to see, thank God, they have healthy eyes. A nine lahem lo yirus. Why is that? So this is what I spoke about the other day a little bit here too. The first shidduch that's described to us in the Torah was the shidduch that we just read about last week. Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Imenu. There are around 70 psukim about this shidduch. It's probably the longest inyan in the whole Chumash. Eliezer and the whole business of Yitzchak and Rivka, it's the longest patch. Vayivieha ha'ayhela, Sari Inoy, says in Torah, that Yitzchak Avinu brought her back to the tent. Vayahaveh, and he loved her. Yitzchak Avinu never ever met her, didn't know her really from before. The shidduch was brought to him in such a way. So how could it be? And not only that, I mentioned this last week, that there is no other shidduch in the Torah that we see was as pure and as holy without any problems, even though there was some kind of a thing between Avraham Avinu and Sarai Imenu. There was a little bit of a problem with Hagar and with Yishmael, sending him out, not sending him out. And then we had with Yaakov, Avinu, Rachel, and Leah, of course, there were inyanim. There was something there, there were difficulties, there were struggles. Rachel was upset, and Leah was upset. With Yitzchak and Rivka, the Torah says, Mitzachak is Yishta, says in Pash. Mitzachak is Yishta means, Pashi says, in Pash. That their love was a love that was perfect, without blemish. Perfect without blemish. Even though it's true that Rivka Imenu didn't say everything because of whatever she knew with the Ruach HaKodesh what had to be hidden, but the relationship between the two was the most perfect. Not only that, it's the most fiery, the most beautiful, the most warm relationship. And it's a funny thing, as you would say, if any of the others, if you could pick, if someone would say, who do you think would this be most likely to be in this kind of a marriage, you would not say Yitzchak if you. Because everybody, when you think of Yitzchak, you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Big tzaddik, not for me. You know, wow. Yitzchak Avinu is pachad. There's a pachad, there's a fear. We don't think of him as this kind of person. We don't think of him as mitzachik as Yishta. And his name, chalav, which is laughter. We don't think of him in such a way. Because Yitzchak means gvur, means dinness. Oh my. Now it's 2 minutes now, I'm sorry. I saw from the tzaddik the following sentence. Listen carefully. This is a yisod for our entire lives. Adam mechapes kol chayav lios abuv. A human being, his whole life is searching. He wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. Listen carefully. Everybody wants to be loved. So he says, hatos hu lakshosh sha'ahava maschila min ha'ahu. He says, listen to this shek. Ve'emes ein ba'olam anoshim ahuvim ve'enem ahuvim. This tzaddik said, there is no such thing in the world as people who are loved and people who are not loved. There's no such thing as a human being who is not loved. Yesh rak anashim ohavim, ohavim, v'anashim she'enam ohavim. There are only two types of people in the world. Those who are capable of giving love, and those who are incapable of giving love. There's no such thing as a person who's not loved. What does that mean? That's his opinion. What does that mean? It means that you could have a person that he goes out with 100 girls, and each girl he finds this is not like this, and this is not like that, and it should be this way, it should be that way. The parents passed up all different things, and this is wrong and that is wrong. And he's waiting his whole life to find the perfect bacha. And I've had some of these sad conversations with boys and with girls. The girls waiting they told her that it has to be like this, and it has to be like this, and it has to be like that. And she goes out with this one. She says, "Nah, this one is not for me. This one's not for me. He's not for me. She's not for me. Not for me. Not. All X cross off. All these different things." I'm not talking about that those don't get to go out, because they pass off sometimes before, but there's another thing that, you know, somewhere before the girls, Bechlal Hashem Yirachim, they don't get calls because of the boys passing, and their mothers and fathers passing at different shidduchim, where these people could have been married for years and years already. But you know what this tzaddik is saying? What this tzaddik is saying is that there are certain people that no matter what they meet, see in another person, it's never ever good for them. Not because they can't, and this person says, "I'm just waiting to be loved." So what we tell this person is, you know why Yitzchak Avinu, the Torah tells the Yitzchak Avinu how passionately he loved his wife. You want to know why? Because Yitzchak understood din, Yitzchak was gevur, Yitzchak understood what it meant to be sawed in half, and he understood what the Baruch Shem was saying, is that you have to spend your whole life working on being someone that is able to give love. And if you're able to love somebody else, if you're able to give of yourself, then you will see how beloved you are. Then you will see good things in another person. You won't toss up every single person that you meet to that this person is not good and that person is not good because of this. And the ikur is what? A person who is an ohev, a Jew who be'etzek, is someone who loves, and Yitzchak had to work hard to be that way. Because we learned that what? That panda panda is only if you work hard. And the work of Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak was born what? Din. Din means to possibly see things that are not good in other people. That's what din is. And Yitzchak had to change himself. Eilu told this Yitzchak, this parasha. Eilu told this Yitzchak, Avraham had this Yitzchak. Vayelu shtei me'achol. Yitzchak had to work on himself day and night to be someone that what? That is able to give of himself. That's able to love. There are couples who are married for 30, 40 years, and all he ever says is bad, or she says bad, not good. They don't have one day of happiness. And it's not because he's not good and she's not good. It's because he's not capable of loving, and she's not capable of loving. And therefore, even if they're married for years and years and years, and say, "All I want to be is love," but you don't want to love. You're not a person that's capable of giving love. All you want is someone to love you. Yitzchak Avinu was avoided. He's the omen of avoided. And the avoided means that what? That he worked on himself to be a person that is able to see good in other people. That person, you know the one who doesn't hear the gospel? There are people who can never hear gospel because they never hear anybody else's voice. All they ever hear is their own voice. I like this, I don't like this, I like this, this is good for me, this is not good for me. So that person, be'etzim is what? All he sees is himself. He can't see anybody else. Therefore, he'll pass by his town. Of course, you should need to get a date with him. And if they go out, this is not right, that's not right. Not because there's something missing in the girl. 90% of the time, it's not that at all. And that's why a lot of times I tell the guy, tell the girl, or tell the boy, don't waste your time. It's like this, like that, because he's remaining like all these different kindness and fears. What? And then he'll tell you behind his back till Mashiach should be sold. He says what? He says, "I want so badly to be loved." If you're a person that is filled with love and wants to give love, you'll hear the gospel and you'll meet your Zivig and you recognize her and you'll spend your whole life working in the relationship and you will love and be loved. But if you're a person that's incapable of loving, if you're closed up and shut up in a tiny little selfish world of what? It's been thus, it's been this, everything is me, is me, is me. How many of these yeshiva bachurim, they're being raised in such a way, it's been thus, the whole thing is me, is me, is me. And a lot of the girls now more than ever, why can't you work on the shidduchim? When my parents were married, the way that people got married in those days was not in such, it was not like now. They came after the milchama, they came after the war. Basically, if it was someone that spoke Hungarian and was religious, that was it. But what were the other requirements? You'd be religious, So what happened in those days? The understanding was is not to not that you have to marry Mrs. Perfect or Mr. Perfect. It has to be like this, like that, with a whole shopping list of what's right and what's wrong. It was what that a person that's in these people. My parents had divorced. They married. My uncle was a little bit old, was a couple years older. How the shidduch was made? They went out. They got married. In those days, when people got married, if he was religious or she was religious and they had something in common, so that was good. If they ended up becoming good friends, now the basic understanding was that you'll go to work, you'll earn a living, and she'll cook and she'll clean, and that's it. What else do you have to have with each other? That's basically it.
If it turned out that you actually liked each other and you were friends and you could converse, that was a bonus. That was like, wow! I never dreamt that. And if you turned out to be in love with someone, that was the greatest gift that you never ever thought was possible. So these were Jews, not all of them, there's plenty of sad stories, but I saw as I grew up in this kind of a home. And I saw that, well, there are others here that understand what I'm talking about. Some of you can't get this at all, some of you do. But those of you who saw it know what I'm talking about. They didn't expect anything except a nice Jewish girl. She didn't expect this, a nice Jewish boy. And therefore, when people have some kind of their difficulties, since they didn't expect it, it has to be what? That he's going to be the public kind, and that she's going to be so shnir. And they didn't expect that she has to be some beauty from the television, and that he has to be like Mr. Prince Charming from some movie. But they should be good, nice people and try hard. And the whole life is a life of sewing together in this era and making our lives work and our children and working hard and caring instead of everything being ready-made. Now there's the chassan and the palace that comes to the chuppah. It has to be a perfect relationship, perfect marriage, perfect wedding, perfect dress, perfect makeup, perfect hair, perfect suit, perfect apartment, perfect, perfect, perfect. There's no nesir, there's no cutting hair, there's no shabbos, there's no b'chir, there's no hard work. Yaitzer hadam, no asher yatzah, only yaitzer asher yatzah, not yaitzer hadam. There's no yaitzer hadam. No, there's no asher yatzah, come on. Everything has to be the way it was, but they wanted to be perfect, ponder, ready-made, ponder. Ready-made, 100%. What happens? You have to work in each other. Oh, it's all good. I saw this in him. How many times I'm begging and talking to couples? It's out of frustration, so I'm getting upset. How many times I talk to couples? I tell them daily, so they go, "Oh, you're sure, this is not a big deal." When there are things that are about to be a big deal, then yeah, it's a big deal. But there are things that are plain that count. And the parents get in the sugar. The children get in the sugar. And you want this, oh my God, you just scream and grab, you come to the world, take this guy's head, because he doesn't see that this is a good girl. You know why? Because he never looked outside of himself. He's so self-centered and empty. He's such an egomaniac that if something is not 100% to make him feel loved, yeah, what about you? Do you want to love someone? Do you know what it means to love someone? Do you know what it means to love someone with mesivas nefesh? You don't mean to give up what you want for someone else. You feel like sleeping, you get up. You feel like going to this mesivas, sometimes you have to stay home. And what it means for her, you would like your husband to be around pastoring all day with you. You send him to yeshiva. When you love someone, to be a person who is capable of giving love and loving, it means you break yourself for someone. It means you give up everything in the world for someone. And nowadays, all the romantics are talking about love, foolish. My parents knew more about love than all these people in their songs and t-shirts and then the whole business. Much more. And they never listen to the songs. They don't know the songs. They still don't. And they know more about what this means. They know more about what love is than any of their little, you'll excuse me, the little pishes now, that are waiting for what? That everything should be made just so. Perfect, nice, so they can walk down the avenue and everybody takes pictures and they put them on the computer. They have a website, you know? They put them on the computer. Oh, what a nice customer calendar. And the first time they have an argument, she says, "Mom, it's not for me." And the first time, you know, that she says, "I think you should go to work." He's like, "Work?" We didn't talk about that. What happened to your father? But it dried up so fast. I should the mommy, daddy, give up, what's going to be? What's going to be? Roll up your sleeves and work. It's after the nesira. You're cut in half, and it doesn't stop after the chasna. Hard work, ishtavlus, speaking to each other, working with each other, seeing each other. It's all about. That's why the first zivug in the Torah, which is, of course, the root of all zivugim, is Yitzchak Avinu. It has to be. Because Yitzchak Avinu, the whole Indian of Yitzchak is Avaydah, a shtavlus. And he made it work. He didn't know Rivka before, but you know something? Yitzchak trained his eyes to look for the good in his wife. And therefore he saw how precious she was. He's so good. And if you and I would be Yitzchaks, if we would be little Yitzchaks, we can't be big Yitzchaks, little Yitzchaks. And all of the things that we think are big deals, the wife is not like this, the husband's not like that, all the tinies and the trees, all the different things. Marriage. 99.9% marriage. I'm not talking about abuse and things like that, God forbid. I'm talking about this marriage type.
When people come and have these fights, and they sit sometimes in front of me, and they yell at each other, and I try just to break it up. I got to put like a whistle and wear like a shirt with stripes. And they're going at it, and they're talking about it. I see two intelligent people. This guy could run like a firm. He has 200 people working for him. And she's got a hot family she takes care of. And she's a devoted, good thinking person. And they're arguing about things that is embarrassing. And they're good people. They're not seeing each other. Why? Because each one wants to be loved. And you're not giving me my love. You're not giving me my love. And you're supposed to be. And you're not giving it to me. How many times has this happened? I'm sorry, it was the other night. How many times it happens is I think they're sitting there. So the girl says, I said this the other night, the girl says, I said, what's the matter? So the wife says, he doesn't look at me. I said, Jan, is that true? He says, what are you talking about? He says, that. He says, I just, last night we spoke for 2 hours. So she said, yeah, you're talking about this kid, and you're talking about work, and you're talking about the car, and you're talking about the trip you want to take, and all different things. You know, his whole thing. But you weren't talking to me. And he doesn't get it. And you try to explain, do you understand what she's saying? He says, no, I don't understand it. You know, I was talking to you. And she says, no, you weren't. She's trying to tell him, and I say talking, I mean, even if it's 5 minutes, but it's real. It's pun to pun, not before, but before. And how many couples are sick and tired that the other one is only wants to have an afor b'afor, not pun b'pun, and they can't, and they're making each other crazy. 5 minutes, pun b'pun. 5 minutes in a day, a couple should give for each other, pun b'pun, and deal. This is a big sign for our generation of us. It's a big sign for our children, it's a big sign for ourselves to work in this thing, to be machazik ourselves, to be machazik the children, to teach them to be loving and caring and good, and then to be able to see good things, because the ones that don't see good, the ones that don't work on it after they're married, that's just the beginning of their problems. If they already have shopping lists or faults before, it's only going to grow afterwards. Not like people think that once I get married, it's going to be fine. I don't know what happens like afterwards. Everybody knows it just gets more complicated afterwards. But there's like this crazy thing in the world where people think, no, once we get married, it's going to go away. It's crazy. It's like from a fairy tale. That's not how life is. After you get married, it gets much more complicated. And all the different and young. They just think maybe we'll get distracted, I guess. I guess that's the meaning. We'll be busy. But that's not how you come into a marriage. Hashem's book should help, and I apologize, I went much over. Hashem's book should help us that we should be Isaac and the Maisik and the Mazari Zivugim. And Hashem's book should be Mazari, all good Zivugim for our children, for our grandchildren, for ourselves. That we should be Zayim Hashem for the big chasna, the Ari Yishon, the Ari Yehudu, the Chusis, the Kol Sos, the Kol Simpler. Call us and call Kali, and we shall have your credit for the Lord. Amen.